What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in to this week's episode of the Brass Ring Media Podcast. This is Spotlight. How's it going? My name is Zach Haydorn. I am your host. Pumped to be here today. We had, hasn't been that long. Honestly, hasn't been that long. We did a Sunday afternoon edition of Spotlight due to some scheduling issues last week. This week, we kind of flipped the schedule around because of WWE Backlash, which is this weekend, which leaves Spotlight on Thursday afternoon as opposed to Wednesday afternoon yesterday. So a little bit of a different day, but welcome on in. Glad you are here. Thanks to everybody who's tuned in live on YouTube. Thanks to everybody who's tuned in live on Twitter, Twitter X, whatever you call it these days. I appreciate it. And you've come to the right place for discussion and analysis on pro wrestling in one focused area, hence the name Spotlight. On this show, we take one topic and we just hone right in on it. So we've talked about Roman Reigns on this show. We have analyzed and watched along with during the WrestleMania 40 main event, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Did like a live watch along with that, which was really, really fun. You can check it out in the archives. All sorts of other cool things. So thank you, thank you, thank you. To answer the question about our second flagship, yes, there will be a second flagship. We wanted to make it a little bit closer to Backlash. So it will be tomorrow afternoon. We'll have more details on that when you can catch us live. But there will be a second flagship this week. It will be a Backlash preview show. Hopefully you guys all are able to make it and tune in. Hello to Tracy in our chat. Hello to Zach in our chat. Really excited for today's episode. This is going to be a fun one because it's very timely. It's very timely. Today we are shining the spotlight on Kenny Omega, the returning to AEW Kenny Omega. Last night in a major, major angle that I thought went off really, really well. And so I want to spend some time talking about Kenny Omega, and we'll get into why here in a minute, but let me just take care of some propers here, take care of a little business. This is the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel. This is Spotlight. We have all sorts of specialty shows right here on the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel all week long. Monday Mania is on Monday afternoons. We have two flagship shows on Tuesday and usually on Thursday. Two per week, Spotlight here, and then tonight, late night, Nocturnal Knockout with Robert Vijos is such a great show. I love listening to that show. Every Friday morning, I take the dog on a long walk and listen to that as a podcast. And you can download all of our live shows as podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. You can find all of those. You can also subscribe right here on YouTube. It helps us out a ton. You can hit subscribe and you won't miss a second for when we're live. Turn notifications on so that you are in the know whenever we drop new video content right here at Brass Ring Media. We also have a Substack newsletter that's updated daily with show reviews and editorials and features and interviews, different things of that nature. There's a free portion of that newsletter that you can consume every day. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack and you can subscribe for free. I think you'll really like it. And then once you want to turn things up a notch and support the cause of Brass Ring Media and really get analysis the way we do it here, you can become a Brass Ring Media member. And that's the best way to consume all of our stuff on a week-to-week basis. Just head over to Patreon right now, patreon.com/brassringmedia. Our Brass Ring Media members get a regular member-only podcast once a week. They get access to our Discord community and hang out with other members. And that's just an absolute blast, talking wrestling, talking life. It's a really fun group. I think you guys will all enjoy it. You also get access to the paid portion of the newsletter and some other cool nuggets that come up throughout the month. So give us a shot. How could I forget? We also, for our members, do pay-per-view and PLE reviews, and we'll be doing that this weekend for Backlash, too. So, another reason to go and become a member, patreon.com/brassringmedia. If you're listening live right now and want to contribute to the show, you can do so with a super chat. That helps us keep this thing going, and every little bit helps, and we appreciate the contributions in advance. Cool? All right. Now, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, Kenny, 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 Kenny. Needless to say, for me, Kenny Omega has been, how do I put this, a polarizing top-tier professional wrestler in my eyes, because he's just had, in my opinion, some of the highest highs that you could have as a professional wrestler. I mean, just of the last 20 years, he has a large batch of the best matches that are out there that you can see, period. I mean, just think about all the great matches that he's had, and even the ones that, like, aren't, you know, necessarily going to go down in the history books as some of the all-time great matches, they are great matches. Like, I think on that end, I think of the stuff like against Kenosuke Takeshita, right, at All Out last year. Incredible match. A match that's not going to – I don't think that that match is going to stand the test of time like the matches with Okada will, but it's still a really good match. So if that's his low end, right, like – man, the high end is high, and it is. I mean, he's got some legendary matches with Okada. That goes without saying. Hiroshi Tanahashi, that goes without saying. Will Ospreay, he's got some really good matches with him. Naito, Kota Ibushi. The stuff with Bryan Danielson was excellent, that he had that match that he had there. I mean, so the list goes, it goes on and on and on. I mean, it goes on and on and on, for real. And so that's why, like, I look at him in a pro wrestler, as a pro wrestler, and I'm like, man, this guy is, like, one of the best. But then I think about his run in AEW, you know, when he went from kind of being a talent for New Japan Pro Wrestling that has a different type of product than AEW is or WWE is in the United States. It just is. I mean, that product is not weekly episodic television. That's not the point. And so he was forced to be a different kind of wrestler there, right? But the exciting part of him coming to AEW was, wow, okay, now we're getting one of the best wrestlers in the world to come over, and, man, he's going to be on our TV every single week. He's going to be a huge star. And then it didn't happen. You know, and then it didn't happen. The matches were there. The opponents were there, but the presentation was there. The presence wasn't there. The taking your job seriously wasn't there for a lot of what he did. I remember, you know, when he was world champion, right? He did this weird skit where he was in like a classroom of kids, like talking about something or other. And this was like a couple weeks after he won the title. And I just remember thinking, like, this is not the Kenny Omega that, like, you came to know and love from a personality standpoint and a charisma standpoint. Like, you did not get that. You didn't get that. You didn't get a sense of that. But then as soon as he would flip back and, like, go do a New Japan match, like, I remember the one that he did in the Dome with Will Ospreay. Like, the promos that he cut for that match, it's like, wait, where has this been in AEW? Like, what's missing? What's the missing element to this? And I think that's, like, the note that I wrote down here for his run was, what's missing? And there's been something missing from the AEW run that has just not been there to kind of take him to the next level, but also him and his ability to take AEW to the next level. Zach in the chat is talking about his quirkiness. I think that is a major part of it. He's a quirky guy, really quirky guy. Likes playing video games, and he's just a quirky dude. Not that liking to play video games is weird. I like playing video games too, but he's just got a quirky personality. I think in New Japan, that quirky personality was neutralized because of the type of product that it was. AEW being more episodic, being more character-based because it is episodic, and Omega being like a top star in that company that had and has a lot of free reign to do what he wants, that quirkiness wasn't checked as much. And I think that got him in trouble. I think that really got him in trouble. You know, he'd have days where he'd come out there in like a white t-shirt, like I'm wearing, and shorts, and that's it. And like, you know, I don't remember Wade Keller, when I would do shows with Wade all the time, would say, you know, he'd look like he'd just roll out of bed and, you know, would walk to the ring. And that's exactly kind of the tone and tenor that he had in AEW. And so I was excited at the end of last night's Dynamite, because you saw a different Kenny Omega out there. And if it's just a one-off, like, okay, that's too bad. It really is, because it was such an effective presentation of Kenny Omega. Over the weekend on a Twitch stream, Omega's talked about how much he, you know, is jealous of Roman Reigns and the presentation, and you know, the you know, the way people react to him as a star, and like he's just like this next level performer. And I heard that and I was like, man, like, okay, like some of that is on Tony Khan in terms of how he presents stars in general, period. But a lot of that's on Kenny in terms of like how you present yourself. Like Roman Reigns would not be doing half of the quirky stuff on television that Omega did. And when Roman Reigns did do that, like the suffer and succotage thing, and tried to be all cutesy, it didn't work. It didn't work for him. So, you know, hopefully like Omega looks inward with that and goes, huh, maybe there is something I can do on a regular basis to make, you know, to make myself present more on his level, because I think Kenny Omega can be like a Roman Reigns-esque star for AEW. I don't know like about anymore because of his just physical limitations, if he has them, and his sickness with diverticulitis. It's a serious, serious thing that he went through. But you know, he certainly has that in him if he wants to, because he has that charisma. He has, you know, all the intangibles that you need to be a top tier star, but he just didn't emphasize them in AEW for so, so long. And last night he did that promo. Excuse me, guys, my voice is up already, starting to go. I'm gonna try to keep this thing on the track as long as possible, but forgive me if my voice starts to go, but I'm gonna keep pushing through, because that's what we do, right? So last night's promo, first of all, the presentation was great. I thought the ring announcement from Justin Roberts really worked. Sometimes it annoys me, but other times, like last night, I just thought like the over-the-top you know, presentation just stood out, because he's got all these accolades and they talk about it. Like I thought it was really, really well done. He came out looking good, looking sleek in his suit. And that helped. But more so than all of that, like Omega, like spoke from the heart. Like he created an emotional promo. There were times last night during the promo where he wasn't talking, you know, he was taking a pause for whatever reason, and that audience wasn't making a noise. They were hanging on every word that he said. And it was because he was real. He was talking in depth about his issues and about how those issues made him feel, and what his future holds. And so, you know, I just think that when you drop Kenny Omega into the ring as a pro wrestler, man, this guy can do it. It's when he tries to add other goofiness into things, into the wrestling stuff, that's where it gets off track. But this was just him out there with a microphone and an audience that cares about him talking straight up. And not only that, but he was doing business too. He was doing business too. I had someone, you know, message me on Twitter, like right before or right early on in the promo, going, Kenny Omega is going to retire. And I was like, nah, I don't think so. I think he's setting the table here. And he did a wonderful job at that, setting that table. You know, he pointing out, like, I have these injuries to my stomach. If a blunt force hits it, I could die. perfect setup for what he, you know, obviously for what was going to happen. He was going to get nailed in the gut with a steel chair. Like, he had cast that line and was just waiting to set the hook on that audience. I might not be able to return. I could die if I get blunt force. I had all these medical issues that I was in the hospital for 10 days. Like, that just laid on a layer and upon layer upon layer upon layer of sympathy. And it worked, because then when the elite came out and attacked, man, you felt for him. Not only did you feel for him, like, getting attacked, but you also felt for him when he was actually dishing out some of the punishment. When he was dishing out some of the punishment and, you know, hitting his own moves and taking some bumps in doing so. Like, that all, I think, that all, like, layered on top of the, like, the drama and the intrigue and the investment that people are going to have in this angle. We'll go to Tracy's super chat here. Thank you, Tracy. And Tracy says, he did a great job of blending real life injury and the new angle. Dynamite is feeling a bit different in a good way, and this was a great example. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's a perfect example. It's a perfect example of blending real life into the story. And I talk about this all the time here and for our members. Like, you have to, if you're going to, like, put in real life stuff, a person that doesn't know about the real life stuff still needs to be able to understand the angle. So, like, if Kenny Omega came back and they didn't mention anything about his injury and he just got hit in the chair, in the stomach with a chair and got beat up, like, you still could say to yourself, all right, man, those Young Bucks are nasty, right? They're nasty heels. Don't like those guys. In this case, it was deeper because he mentioned his sickness and he set the table for the stomach stuff. And he set the table for him might not be able to return, or it might be a couple more. Like, he set all of that up. And so it really created, I didn't mean to take this off the screen. He really created an avenue for the audience to invest there. Plus, you know, I said going in that, like, this week's show had to be about heat on the new elite and the new angle. Had to be. They cannot be, like, this faction cannot be a faction that's, like, cheered right now because they're cool. Right? Like, it's too early for that. Way too early for that. They have to be hated. And so in my mind, AEW needed to do all they could, and they needed to hit a home run with how they got heat on the Bucks and on Jack Perry and on Kazuchika Okada. And I thought this did it. I really thought this did it. And you have other people on the show addressing it too, Tracy, like Swerve's talking about it. The announcers are talking about it. Other wrestlers are bringing it up. And so it's this overarching story that's weaving through the entirety of the show. And to me, that's a big reason why Dynamite has felt different, especially this week. Like, I wasn't a fan of last week's show very much, but this week I thought was a home run in terms of follow-up. And, like, any good wrestling angle is only as good as the follow-up. So, thumbs up. Why is that important to this show? Well, because it was on the back of Kenny Omega and Kenny Omega's return. I mean, when you think about it, like, Jack Perry didn't do much on the show. The Young Bucks didn't do much on the show. Like, it was on the shoulder of Kenny Omega specifically to sell this angle, make it an angle that people are going to care about, and, you know, and then whatever happens next, happens next. A lot of that is going to be predicated on what his health situation is. Can he wrestle? Can he have a match? When can he have a match? All of that is going to matter. But in this instance, it doesn't matter what happens because, you know, you've got the story told right. If he comes back in 3 months, well, we know why. If he comes back in 6 months, we know why. If he comes back in 1 month, okay, we know why. They set all of this up. And I think that is the key. And then Omega sold the heck out of it. It made for a really, really effective angle. But angle aside, angle aside, I think this did a lot for Kenny specifically, because I don't know about you guys, and I'd like to like just pull the live chat here. You don't, no need to send a super chat in for this, but just if you're in the live chat, like drop your answer. Like, who do you want to see Kenny Omega face? You know, if he were to come back for, if he were to come back, like who's on your short list? I guess I could guess a lot of folks is number one is probably Okada because of their history. We'll get to a super chat on that in a minute. But, you know, I don't think that they would have him bump the way that he did. T's coming back, you know, in a few months potentially, if the idea was that he wasn't going to be cleared to come back. And thank you, Tracy, for the super chat. Appreciate your support of the show and your Brass Ring Media membership. Everybody become a member like Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. I think that they think that he's going to come back and then he's going to be able to be a part of this in the end. Whatever that end is. And man, like if this is the Kenny Omega that we get, if this is the Kenny Omega that we get for a feud with Okada or for a feud with Jack Perry or for a feud with, I don't know, him and Swerve against the Young Bucks. And then even after that, like him against Jon Moxley potentially, or him against you know, him and Will Ospreay have a trilogy match to do. Him and Danielson have another match that they can do. Him and Adam Cole can wrestle down the road. Him and MJF can wrestle again down the road. Like, there are so many matches that you can have with Kenny Omega. And a lot of the tone around them is changed when he changes that persona and when he can be kind of that more serious Kenny Omega that we saw. It's really like a whole new match. I mean, it really is. It's like this, it's a whole new match because this is a whole new Kenny that the AEW ecosystem hasn't really seen before. And I think that's really, really important. And that can mean big time money for AEW and big time, you know, tickets and people watching the show. I think Kenny has that in him when and if he wants to put it out there. And if it's yesterday, if that's the Kenny, all is well. So a little bit of history about Okada. Not like a history lesson, but Not Okada, Omega. This guy has had amazing matches with pretty much everybody. And we got some folks in here in the chat talking about who they want to see. Okada is definitely on this list. Okada, Omega right off the bat. Jericho won last time. Finished the trilogy with Ospreay and Swerve. Yeah, all that stuff plays. All of that plays, I think. And I think that all of those things, I'm not sure about the Jericho thing. Although Jericho as this fresh heel character makes total sense. So I take it back. Yeah, that would absolutely work. So Okada keeps coming up. Oh, Tracy is in here saying another pack match. Oh my God. What a match. That's another one. That's another great example, Tracy. I'm glad you brought that up, of a really, really great Kenny Omega match that is going to fall like under the wayside and is going to be like not really remembered because he has so many other like tremendously great matches that like a match like the ones he's had with Pac for anybody else is going to be like top tier stuff of their career. And Omega, it's just like, oh, this is just, you know, another day at the office. But those are really good matches that the two of them have had. So yeah, I'd love to see another one of them too. But let's talk Okada. Because they set up an Okada match last night. And let's go to Zach's super chat here. Okay, Zach says, given the physicality of last night, what's your percentage chance now that we get Okada versus Omega 5 at All In? I would say, Zach, pretty good. I'd say it's a pretty good chance. 60-40? You know, because how many months away is it? So it's May, June, July, August. So like, let's just call it 4 months. I mean, that certainly is within the window that he put out there. And that certainly would be a big time match for that show. I mean, a really big time match for that show. And this is what I meant. Like, so last night they did the spot where Okada and him went face to face in the ring, got holy S chance from the crowd. People clearly, you know, were tipping their hat to the past, to their past, you know, series of matches. And let me talk about those matches for a minute. Some of my favorite matches ever, all four of them. It really, really, it's the three. Like, but you know, but the fourth place too. It's not certainly not a bad match. I think I'm partial to their first Wrestle Kingdom match. That to me is still their best. Maybe it's, see, this is the thing. It's not necessarily their best match. I think the Dominion match is like their true, you know, best match. I mean, that match is an absolute masterpiece. The two out of three falls where Kenny finally gets the win. An absolute masterpiece of a match. You guys got to find it if you haven't found it yet. Got to find it. It's a great match. I am partial personally to the first Wrestle Kingdom match because that was just such a special match. I mean, it was just like the right time, right place. You know, like at the time, Omega is this kind of up and coming main event heavyweight. After spending a lot of time in the junior heavyweight division in New Japan, that's where he started as a junior heavyweight contender. And notoriety and him becoming the leader of the Bullet Club and all these things led to him getting the shot at the Tokyo Dome against Okada. And, you know, it's one of those things where even right now, like New Japan's in a position where they have to decide, like, okay, we've lost all of our top talent. Okada's gone. Omega's gone. Osprey is gone. Jay White is gone. Like, you know, our core top stars are not there except for Tetsuya Naito. And Naito is, you know, he's slowing down a little bit. I mean, and why wouldn't he? Like, he's had a lot of mileage on that body, a lot of really great matches. So the question now is, well, what young stars do you push? Is it going to be Yota Tsuji? Is it going to be Shota Umino? Somebody else, right? But they're at that point where, like, it's time to, like, flex someone up. And Kenny Omega was that flex a handful of years ago. Like, in New Japan, it was like, all right, well, we're gonna take a shot here. And we're going to go with this and let's see what happens. And then what happened was you had this like epic Wrestle Kingdom main event, you know? I mean, so the result of the flex and taking, you know, a little bit of a risk because, you know, like you just, it, you know, it was somebody new. It was a fresh face, in that spot. And Omega hit home run with Okada. And, you know, their legacies as pro wrestlers are forever linked because of that series of matches. And if you're Tony Khan, you have both these guys in your company, like you got to go to that match. And to me, why I think it's a 60-40, Zach, is because you got to get to it. You got to get to it. You don't know about the health of these guys anymore. Like Okada throughout his career has been solid, you know, knock on wood, but Kenny, you know, like who knows how many matches you're going to have left with him, right? You just don't know. His body's, you know, kind of breaking down. It's been through a lot. So you go to this right away to me. You know, you don't, why wait? Like why wait? You're executing the story right now, you know, as this like AEW versus the New Elite thing. Okada's part of the heel New Elite. Omega is now positioned opposite them. Like you're there, you are there. You just need to make fans care about it now, and they're well on their way to doing that based on last night. So yeah, I think this is a definite like better than 50-50% that they go to this match. They go to this match at All In. And what a match that's going to be! What a match. That's going to be. Yeah, Zach also mentioned Omega versus Danielson with the winner this time. Yeah, I mean, they owe that. Someone's got to do a job there, right? That's one of those matches that I think Bryan Danielson, you know, may come back for. Like, he says that this is his last year competing as a full-time wrestler. I think he'd come back for another go around with Omega, because it's special. It's so special. Thank you, Zach, for the super chat and for the good point. I really think it's a great point. So thank you. All right, future. Let's talk future of Kenny Omega. We talked about some matches that he can have. In the immediate future, it's kind of weird because it's like, not, we saw him yesterday. I don't want to see him again for a while. Right? Are you guys with me on that? Like, I think, you know, the best thing for Kenny Omega right now to maintain that heat and to maintain the excitement around him and to maintain that star aura that we saw last night is to sell this angle, leave him off TV. You know, Kenny Omega is in a bad way. He may have suffered a setback in his recovery due to the dastardly deeds of Jack Perry and the Young Bucks. He's not around. Less is more, I think, at this point. Because when he comes back, like if he comes back at the end of a show or has a surprise return at Double or Nothing, perhaps, like, you know, if he returns there or maybe Forbidden Door, like he could return there. But that you've got a big pop on your hands when Kenny comes back. Because people now want to see Kenny Omega, you know, whip the new elite. Like, that's the thing. There's money in that now. The future for Kenny is just get healthy. Get healthy. You know, if you're close, tremendous. You know, keep going. If you're not close, that's okay. Being away sells the angle. And AEW now also has to sell the angle on the back end too. This week, if there's a collision, I'm not sure if there is a collision. I think there is on Saturday. But you know, they got to show the angle. You know, they got to reemphasize what they did. Reemphasize that Kenny is this big star, and this heel act took him out. So less is more with Mr. Kenny Omega. And as Zach says in the chat, yes, his return will absolutely be epic. Will absolutely be epic. Kenny's. This we'll end on this note, and this is kind of just my final notes on Kenny Omega. I hope we get to see him have the run that I wanted to see him have in AEW. Because I wanted the good matches, right? That goes without saying. But I also think that Kenny still has this like second or third gear to his star power for the company. You know, I think he still has that in him. And you saw why last night. And so as he gets healthy and as he gets to the point of potentially being able to return, like, I just hope that we get it, you know? Like, so much of, like, the cool stuff that's happened in AEW in particular are things that have come together that you just never thought would, you know, that you never thought would happen, right? Like, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay in his prime at a high, high national level pro wrestling promotion. Not New Japan or not somewhere in the Indies, but like a big time national wrestling promotion. That was just not in the cards. Super cool that we got to see that happen. Same thing with Danielson and Okada. Same thing with Omega and Danielson. I mean, the weird stuff that we've seen, you know, in terms of matchups and just kind of memorable dream matches was unheard of like 6 years ago, not even 2 years ago in some instances. But one of those things that, like, amidst all of that, I think one of the things that stands out of missed opportunity that AEW has had amidst all those cool wins is a top level run as a star for Kenny Omega. I think he still has that in him. And I think he still can do really good business in that role. And so much of it, you saw play out last night on television as to why. Because when he wants to be, he can be effective in doing the job of a pro wrestler. And he did it last night. And it was fantastic. And it made for a fantastic angle. It set up the Young Bucks and the New Elite to keep rolling. It keeps that storyline on the track. And then, as Zach says, his return, when it happens, is going to be epic. There's business there too. So I hope we get that. I hope we get that time with Kenny Omega. I hope we can be lucky and get it, because I think he has it in him. And I think it'll be very, very fun to watch play out. Guys, thanks so much. We'll wrap it up there. This is Spotlight. Every week we tackle one topic, one current event topic if we can. I'm thinking about reaching back into the history book a bit and maybe pulling up some old stuff to talk about. So we'll kick that around potentially. May ask VIP members for some suggestions and recommendations on what sort of spotlight deep dives we want to do. So if you're interested in, you know, participating in that way, become a member, patreon.com/brassringmedia. It's only $4, you guys, and you get access to everything that we do, and it's a lot, and there's more coming. Once again, it's patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. All right, before my voice gives out, tomorrow we'll be live right here on YouTube with a Backlash preview on our flagship. We'll also talk about this week's AEW Dynamite, which I thought was just a thumbs up show all the way around. If you can't wait until tomorrow, you can check out my written report over on Substack. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack in Google, and we'll be the first thing that pops up. Thanks so much to our super chatters, Tracy and Zach. Thanks to everybody else who checked out the show live, including Azan, including Andy, and a host of others on YouTube and on Twitter X. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're downloading this in the future after the fact, thank you for downloading and thank you for listening. I'm Zach. This is Spotlight right here at Brass Ring Media, and we'll catch you guys next time. See ya.